There are things that God has for you and I that we have to be in the right place at the right time. I was cutting my grass on one day this past week, thinking about the anniversary, thinking about this season, and I happened to be listening to a message by Bishop Jakes. It's a message that I've heard before called Timing is Everything. I think it's a message that we've delivered to this house numerous ways as well. But timing is everything. And while I was listening to his message, how many of you know that you can be hearing the word even as you've been hearing it today, and Holy Spirit is speaking to you at the same time? Not what's being said in the message, but something else altogether different. How many of you experienced that? If you don't, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because he does that. And while I was cutting the grass and hearing this message and hearing about timing, and I think I have some sense of knowing what that's about, then I heard this statement: the ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. Say that.
The ball is in the air.
Come on, say it again. The ball is in the air.
The ball is in the air.
The ball is in the air. What does that mean? The ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. What'd you say, George?
Still in the game.
We're still in the game? The ball is in the air. I was cutting the grass and I heard the Holy Spirit say, the ball is in the air. On, I guess it was Friday, I sent a email out to everyone, kind of recapping some things with the word that Bishop Garlington gave. I want to speak to those things just a little bit, and then I want to share with you what Holy Ghost said to me concerning the ball is in the air, what it means for us. It ties into Pastor Jamal's message about alignment, about you and I being in our right position. As Bishop Garlington was sharing, he started to talk about David, and as he was talking about David, he talked about how that David came to a place where God sovereignly selected him because of some of the things that Saul had done. Saul had disqualified himself, and God said, I found a man after my own heart, and that man was David. And it says that Samuel came to David's father's house, Jesse, and that's where David was anointed to be king. Say, be king. He was anointed to be king. But there would be two other anointings that happened before he became the king. Say three. Yeah, there's something about three. There's something about the principle of three. Many have taught the principle of three: Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Spirit, soul, and body. Outer court, inner court. Holy of holies. First day, second day, third day. They all have some significance, the principle of threes. What most people don't know about my journey and our being here in Hamilton, when people say to me, how did you end up in Hamilton? What they don't know is, this is my third time. This is not happenstance. My coming to Hamilton started in 1988, 1989, 1990. Well, I still lived in Columbus, Ohio. Only the assignment was a little different then. Yet at the same time, God has a way of getting you geographically in the location where he's going to bring you back to at a later time. My first assignment when I came, I was working for a labor union, and I would drive into Hamilton, and we would have meetings on 2nd Street or 2nd Avenue, whichever it's called, in the Democratic headquarters building, and I would hold meetings there, and I did that for a couple years, organizing and meeting with people, so I knew about Hamilton. And then some years later, we moved to Cincinnati, then we moved to Shippensburg, then we moved back. And when we moved back and our kids are in school, we decided to take one of our sons out of school, and we decided to put him in Hamilton. So now it's my second time in Hamilton, because every day I brought him to school. Every day. Every day. Until he graduated. And then that season was over. And then here we are now with this assignment, the assignment. But when God sets a man or a person in a place of assignment, it's not just that person that gets the call. It's not just that person who is selected to be in alignment or be a part of the team. One of the things I love about what Pastor Jamal said is sometimes people, if they don't feel like they fit, then they feel like they're supposed to be somewhere else when they haven't given time to recognizing what their part is, where they really fit. When Bishop Garlington was sharing and he spoke about David, right in the middle of his sharing, he said, this was David's national anointing. And then he said, there's a national anointing that is on you. And he pointed to me. And then he said, and it just can't be on the apostle. It has to be on the house. There is a national, international anointing on this house because it's on me. It's on you. I'm saying it again. Because it's on, let me say it differently. Because it's on me, it has the opportunity to be on you. Because it's on me, it has the opportunity to be on you. But going back to something Pastor Jamal said, but if you can't recognize and receive the prophet, then you won't receive the prophet's reward. It's the same if you don't recognize a call or an anointing or a place of authority, then it's a good chance you'll miss out on what you're supposed to be getting out of it at the same time. And so for me, this is one of those pause moments. At the same time, I want to reiterate, but the ball is in the air. Come on, say the ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. I'm telling you, things are already in motion. That's when I'm saying, when Holy Ghost said the ball is in the air, I heard him say, things are already in motion. But it can't just be on the apostle, my bishop said. It has to be on the house. It is on the house. Says there are things that God wants to get done. Says, and you know, and you have to know that in order to get it done, it has to be, we have to do it. Come on, say, we have to do it. Come on, say it again, we have to do it. Now, I am grateful to God because I've got a team around me for the most part, and I just say the most part because some more than others really get it. And that's just the dynamic of interactions. But I have people around me who understand we have to do it. We have to do it. We have to do it. And so I'm grateful for those who have given themselves to the process even this far. But I'm telling you this prophetically, God is getting ready to send the rest of the team. Come on, that's a good time to clap. Come on, that's a good time to clap. God is not getting ready. God is sending the rest of the team. The ball is in the air and things are in motion right now. God is sending the rest of the team. God is sending the rest of the team. When we started the plan for the anniversary, I watched certain individuals rise to the forefront and say, we need to get this done, we need to get this done, we need to get this done, I'll take this on, I'll take that on. And many of you stepped into those places from beautification outdoors. There were those of us out there moving mulch around and digging up weeds and doing all kinds of things. And we did whatever it took because we knew we were part of the team. And we recognize that this is ours. Say, this is ours. See, if you, I'm talking now to those that are connected to heirs, just like in the email I wrote you. Okay? See, if you pull in the parking lot and you don't feel something otherwise concerning the condition of the parking lot, then you got to ask yourself, am I really on the team? Is this really my house? Is this really my property? And I'm speaking to everyone that's joined to this house. This is your property. This is our property. We own this. When I walk around here, I say, I own this. I see men in the program. They ask me, do you work here? Yes, I work here. What do? I own it. Why is that important? Because it goes back to the alignment. It goes back to everyone understanding what their specific part is in it. We have to do it. We have to do it. He went on and said, it's a call upon this house to do what God wants to do. God has purposed that through this location, there would be a building established that is a kingdom embassy. That's unlike anything in this area. It's not a church. There's a church in the building, but the building is the kingdom. It represents the kingdom. And when you step on these grounds, when you step into the building, it's like stepping into heaven because you're in the kingdom of God. And everything that we do should manifest that. We steward his presence. Well, hear me now. Let me say this, and I need to say it with some sense of grace and kindness. We steward his presence well, but can we steward the building well? Can we steward the property well? Because you see, for far too long, Christians and believers have met and enjoyed the presence of God, but the property was a mess. There was nothing about them that showed a level of excellence. Some of you live in beautiful homes. Most of you, many of you, many of us in great communities. And that is your personal embassy. But what about here? What about here? What about here that causes people to ride down 12th Street and look over to the right and recognize there's something different about that building? I've been living here for 50 years, and it's never looked that good. It's never been that well taken care of. The ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. Don't think for one moment that things that are happening now are because we've initiated them. God threw that ball a long time ago. The ball is in the air. And it has to do with a national anointing. What is that national anointing? That national anointing means that I don't think small. We can't think small. If you're still calling this building a church, you're thinking too small. I correct everybody and anybody when they say, are you going to church? No, I'm not going to church. I'm going to the embassy. And I need you to begin to say and think the same way. Bishop went on to say this, 25 years. He says, you're just getting started. Just getting started. I love that. I appreciate that. I didn't take it as demeaning or anything at all. He said, you're just getting started. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way. I'm simply saying to you, after all we've been through, after all we're going through, and after all we're getting ready to go through. Now, you got to hear this, okay? Because I remember getting one of those words when in the midst of the, yea, I say, I see you and all the blessings, and the word came forth, Pastor Nina, and the things you're about to go through. That's what I keyed it on. From that moment on, I didn't hear anything else that was said. But you see, that word isn't just particular to us. It's what's happening in the world right now. It's what's happening in the earth right now. It's what's happening in the body of Christ right now. Bishop said it, we are at war. We are at war. And if there's not something on the inside of you that's starting to churn and say, we need to turn this thing up, we need to be more aggressive in our pursuit, we need to be more precise in what we're doing, we're running out of time. 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 And the ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. After all we're getting ready to go through, it says you are going to arm yourselves with this mind. God is in charge. And God has anointed us. Say, God has anointed me. Come on, can you say it with some real conviction? God has anointed me. And there are certain things that are going to take place because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass in that day. That day is this day. Bishop was emphatic. He said, say, that day is this day. Say it. That day is this day. Come on, say it again. That day is this day. One more time. Come on. That day is this day. Come on, say it. The ball is in the air. Things are in motion. Come on, things are already moving. That day is this day. And so instead of living in the space where we keep putting things in the future, one day, one day, one day, one day, someday, someday, you need to start thinking right now, today, today, today. That day is this day. That this burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. It says, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing empowers the preaching of the gospel. The anointing sets captives free. The anointing is the great equalizer. I like what Jamal said. It doesn't just equalize. The anointing is the presence of Holy Ghost. The anointing is Holy Ghost. We have to do it. We have to do it. It's a call upon this house to do what God wants to do. So, Jamal referred to this statement in his message. The success of any plan that involves a team or organization is predicated on each individual on the team knowing their role and what is expected of them. One of the things that I just want to reiterate that Jamal said, sometimes you got to wait to know what your role is. Because you've done certain things in certain seasons of your life doesn't mean you're going to do the same thing now. Because that's not what's needed on this team. That's not what's needed in this season. But God has a way of gracing you and I to do multiple things. And you have to be okay with a wonderful season you had or a wonderful assignment you had in one season of your life. But recognize that assignment has changed right now. Doesn't make you any less significant, doesn't make you any less a part. You just want to recognize what this assignment is now. They must not only know it, they must be equipped, ready, and prepared to execute their part at the right time for the goal to be achieved. I want you to know that it is Holy Spirit that works through you and I in various seasons of our lives, in various circumstances in our lives, that really does prepare us. And if you are sensitive to and discerning, you'll recognize I'm being prepared for something different now. I really want to be doing this over here, but he's not allowing me to do this. I got to get okay with that so that I can receive what he's trying to do with me right now. And I'm, because it's for an appointed time, the moment you're in right now, it may not make sense. Esther thought she was just a beauty queen. She won the contest. She became the queen. But when the stuff hit the fan and the nation is about to be annihilated, her uncle comes to her and says, hey girl, this just ain't about your beauty anymore. We're in trouble. The ball is in the air. Something has been set in motion. And I believe you can turn the tide on this thing. All of her preparation wasn't about the king. It was about that moment. It was about that moment when he said to her, don't think that you will escape what will happen to all of your people. And who's to say that you may have been brought to this place for such a time as this. That day is this day. That day is this day. Say it. Say it. Every team member is important and plays a role in the success and victory of the entire team. So it is with the body of Christ. When I talk about heirs and I talk about the leadership, I talk about our team. I talk about us as a team. We're a team, y'all. We're a team, y'all. We're a team, y'all. We're a team, y'all. We're all the team. We are all the team. We're a team. We're a team. We're a team. We're a team. And so it is for the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, again, it's a passage that all of us should know by now. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, mature believers, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There should be seasons in your life that bring you to a place of maturity in God, in your walk with God, that you're no longer stumbling around. Doesn't mean that you don't have to navigate through certain things, but what used to challenge you doesn't challenge you anymore. You found that place of maturity. You found that place of faith. It says that we're no longer children tossed here and there by the waves that are carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body being fitted and held together, say that, fitted and held together. Someone say it again, fitted and held together. Come on, by what every joint supplies. Come on, by what every joint supplies. It says, according to the proper working. Ah, there it is, right there. According to the proper working of each individual part. We will reach the goal. We will accomplish what God has called us to do when we are operating according to the proper working of each individual part. As a result, it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You see, I can't allow us to skirt past this word. Those that are watching by way of live stream, can't allow us to skirt past this word that Bishop Garlington gave. It's prophetic. There's a national anointing that's not just on me, it's on this house. And we have to do it together. We have to do it together. We have to do it together. We must think past Heirs Covenant Church. Hear me now. We must think past Heirs Covenant Church, and we begin to think embassy, embassy, kingdom, embassy, kingdom, embassy, kingdom, embassy. Because it's in that awareness that begins to produce for you and I the national anointing, the international awareness. God is establishing his team. God is establishing his team. God is establishing his team. More are on their way. More are on their way. And more are on their way. More are on their way. And when they come, hear me now, when they come, going back to something Pastor Jamal said, it's not just those that come that try to navigate around what it is they're trying to find to find their place. It's also, hear me, it's also those that are already here recognizing he's sending the more and getting okay with the more that are coming. And don't be looking with an eye of skepticism like, who is that? Are they going to take my place? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Look and say, here comes the reinforcements. Here comes the reinforcements. Here comes the reinforcements. The ball is in the air. So let me finish out with this analogy, because as I saw it, and there's different ways that you can, there's all kinds of sports, but what I started to think about is the game of football. And the reason why is because there's 11 players. There's 11 players. Eric, stay right with me now. Stay right with me. Stay right with me. Dreadful Expectation. All right, stay right with me. Yeah. I got joyful expectation of good. I got joyful expectation of good. When you have joyful expectation and you maintain joyful expectation, you know what? You can see down the future and you look through all the mess and you still see the goal. You still see the victory. You still see the finish line. I thought about this when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And so I began to think about the game. I began to think about the game. And Jamal talked a little bit about football. I began to think about the game. I began to think about the players. I began to think about the assignments. You know, on a football team, there's the 11 that's on the field, but the team itself is usually about 53. There's 53 players on the team. There's 53 players on the team. Some of them will never get in the game, but they're on the team. Say, on the team. Now, while they may not get in the game, they're always ready, though. Even the reserves are ready. When they all show up, they're on the team. I had the privilege years ago, many years ago, to lead a chapel service for, I think it was the 49ers. It was downtown. They were playing the Bengals. And I got invited through someone else to do the chapel service. And it's right about the time Pastor Deborah had done this teaching on force multipliers. And I delivered a word to them, and they beat the Bengals. Wait a minute. And they beat every team after that. All the way to, I think they went to the Super Bowl that year. I was hoping somebody would send me some tickets, but they didn't. And that's okay. It's okay. But let me just share a few points around how the team works, because it has everything to do with how we work. Everybody on the team plays a role. Everybody on the team is important. So most people think there's the quarterback. There's the quarterback. The quarterback, the team leader who calls the plays, receives the plays from the sideline or above and communicates the play to the rest of the team. Now, I don't know if you're aware that the quarterback not only is hearing plays from the coaches on the side, he's hearing plays from coaches up above. Come on, somebody. He's hearing plays from the booth. Why is he hearing plays from the booth? Because from the booth, they can see the whole field. On the side, they can only see what's in their vision here. But in the booth, they're looking down like this. And they're calling plays to the quarterback because of what they see down the end zone, down the field. I'm telling you right now, God is calling some plays. God is calling some plays. And they're not necessarily the kind of plays that you and I would call if we're the ones calling the play. But he sees it from an eternal vantage point. The quarterback, the team leader who calls the plays, receives the plays from the sideline or above and communicates the play to the rest of the team. He leads the team down the field and across the goal line. Once he has called the play and goes to the line, he has a few seconds to read the defense and call an audible if needed. Once the ball has been snapped, it is his responsibility to hand off the ball to a running back or throw the ball, not where the receiver is, but where he will eventually be. He must maneuver around the defense, the opposition, while maintaining his poise and staying focused at all times. You see, once the play has been called, once the assignment has been given, that quarterback recognizes, I must maintain my focus even in the midst of the opposition that's coming against me. And if I have called a passing play, my responsibility is to get the ball in the air at the right time. That's why they make the amount of money they make, because of the role that they play. They're not just calling the play, but once that ball is snapped, they have to remain focused, and they have to, hear me now, they have to believe that everyone else is doing their part to fulfill the play that has been called. I need you to understand that that's exactly the way God is working in his church. That's exactly the way God is working in his kingdom. Don't think for one moment there are not others on the team who are moving into position. They're doing their part to make sure that we arrive across that finish. We arrive in the goal, across the goal line. The ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. And the rest of the team are on their way. There's the quarterback, then there's the receiver. And usually, when you are hearing about teams, there's key players that you hear about more than others. But everybody on the team is important. I'm saying to those of you here in this house that are joined to heirs, those that are watching that are joined to heirs, you are important. And your importance, hear me, your importance is beyond your giving of offerings and tithes and whatever it is you sow financially. It's more than that. It's more than that. Then there's the receiver. Are y'all still with me? Then there's the receiver. The receiver runs the pattern given to him by the quarterback. Now, let's just pause it for just a moment. Because you see, when that receiver comes off that line, he can't just run any way he wants to run. Because he has an assignment, meaning the quarterback has called to play that I have given you your assignment where you're supposed to be when I throw the ball. He must maneuver, look at this, he must maneuver through the defense, the opposition. We've got to keep maneuvering, y'all. We've got to keep maneuvering. The ball is in the air. We've got to keep maneuvering. I know some, he must maneuver through the defense, the opposition, run the pattern they have practiced to the best of his ability. Stay focused and be in the right place at the right time to catch the ball. He has every expectation that once he arrives at the designated spot, the ball will be there. And so that receiver, when he comes off that line, he's recognizing, I've got a pattern that I need to run. But he's also realizing, I'm dealing with opposition. I'm dealing with the defense. And yet at the same time, in his mind, I've got to get to that location at that time. And there's something about the synergism of what we see in this analogy that fits for us today, because God has brought heirs. God brought me to Hamilton in this season because the ball has been in the air for some time now. But we're the ones that's going to catch the ball. Okay. I must not be talking to the right folk here. For years, it's been a ground game. You know what a ground game is, don't you? That's when the coach calls a play. The quarterback calls a play. Hike the ball, snap, and he hands it to a running back, halfback, fullback, and he runs. That's the ground game. But depending on what the offensive line does and what the defense is doing has everything to do with how far they go. But I need you to hear me in this season. We are in the season of some Hail Marys. Now, how many know when they call a Hail Mary, what it is? Sandra, I'm going to help you with that. I guess they call it Hail Mary because Mary... it's an impossible, seemingly impossible play with a seemingly impossible outcome. For years, the church has been playing this ground game. A little bit advancement here, a little bit advancement here, a little bit advancement here, a little bit advancement here. But God is saying, I'm calling in a different team now. I'm bringing some folks on the team now, because now we're going to go long. We're going long, y'all. We're going long. Sandra, what's that mean when they call a Hail Mary? That means in a minute, this play is to get the ball down there across that goal line. And I need all of my receivers to just run down the field and look up. Just run down the field and look up. Work through the defenses, work through the enemy, and then look up. The receiver runs the pattern given to him by the quarterback. He recognizes, I will be opposed. There is a defense. There is an enemy that I'm going to have to deal with. But nothing's going to stop me from reaching that goal, reaching that place. He must maneuver through the defense, run the pattern that they have practiced. Stay focused and be in the right place at the right time to catch the ball. He has every expectation. Joyful expectation of good. He has every expectation that once he arrives at the assigned spot, the ball will be there. He doesn't care what he has to go through, but once he gets there, he's looking for that ball. That Hail Mary is simply, we're running out of time. The game is about to be over. And if we don't do something ridiculous in the eyes of many, they call it a Hail Mary. Where every receiver who can legally catch the ball and not be disqualified, you need to run down the field. That quarterback recognizes, I've just called a play. I got my best guys heading down the field. I got to stay on my feet. They trip me up, I'm not going to fall. And you'll see some of the best players will throw the ball while running. They're running, and they see that I see them, and they, even if they get hit after that, go down after that, hurt after that, they have fulfilled their part. The ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. The ball is in the air. And heirs, we got to catch ours. We have to do this. Come on, say, we have to do this. Everybody on that team recognizes it's us, it's we. And everybody on that team, whether they're in the game or not, they're on the sideline, they're standing up, they're cheering. And everybody is watching. And when the ball goes in the air, everybody is doing like this. I need to tell you that all the crowd, everyone in the stands can see. And when the ball gets in the air, they're all looking. Some are hoping, some are praying, some are believing that the ball is going to be caught. Others are hoping it gets fumbled, that it gets deflected. Seeing are we compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hey! They're watching us. They're watching us. They're watching us. They're watching us. We have to do this together. We are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on. You can do it. You can do it. Jesus already secured the win. You can do it. Just don't drop the ball. Just don't fumble the ball. When that quarterback calls that play in that huddle and he says, we got to go long. We got to go long. Running game's not getting it done. Church, we are in the final hours. The running game is not going to get it done. The running game is not going to get it done. And I heard God say, the ball is in the air. Position yourself. Position yourself. Get in the right place at the right time. The ball is in the air so that you can catch it. And end up in the end zone with the victory. When that quarterback in that huddle calls that play. He has every assurance that everybody on that field knows their assignment because they have practiced it, practiced it, practiced it. They've studied it. They got their playbooks. They know the play. He's not in the huddle saying, now you run down here 20 yards and go left. You run down here 10 yards and go right. And you block this way and you block that way. No, he's just calling a directive. Everybody knows what the play is. It's not just the quarterback. It's not just the receiver. It's that line. It's that line. Hear me. Hear me. See, we don't hear a lot about the line. But you, those of you that know anything about football, you know that there are scouts and there are coaches and there are teams. They go out and look for the best lineman because you hear them say, you know what? He's a good quarterback. He just needs a good line. If they get him the right line, they can do anything. But the quarterback is only as good as the line. Then there's the offensive line. Say offensive line. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got the left tackle, the left guard. You got the center. You got the right guard. You got the right tackle. That team encompasses the quarterback, the running backs, the wide receiver, and the tight ends. There's 11 of them on that field. The offensive line, hear this, the offensive line has the responsibility to protect and keep the quarterback safe. to ensure that he has enough time to execute the play that has been given. Whether it is a passing play or a running play, the quarterback is only as good as the offensive line protecting him. They block the defense. They also have the responsibility to make a way for the running backs to break through the defense and advance the team up the field towards the goal. So often, church, we have allowed ourselves to only aspire to the visible spots, what some would say the important roles in the church. We got people calling themselves bishop. There's no more bishop than this towel. Okay, we got people aspiring and titles and things, and it just doesn't make any sense. Now, I can't stay stuck there. You don't need to stay stuck there. Our eyes need to stay on the ball. The ball is in the air. Our assignment. Our assignment is to catch the ball and this place become what God intended for it to be from the moment it came into existence. There have been the ground games of this ministry here, functioning. But I hear God saying, we're going long now. We're going long now. When that quarterback says to that team, we're running out of time. This is the play. He says to his offensive line, guys, give me time. Give me time. And at the snap of that ball, when he backs up and that ball hits his hand, every lineman recognizes, I got one goal here, and that's to make sure none of the defense gets to him. And he has as much time to be able to set himself in order to get the ball where it needs to go. And should he need to make any changes, he has enough time to assess the situation, look around and see what other receivers are available. And that's what a team is able to accomplish and move downfield. At the same time, that receiver is running and he is in his mind believing. He's not just running to be running. He's believing that the linemen are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Any second now, that ball is in the air. That ball may be in the air right now. And when I turn around, it will be in my hands. And you've seen some of those moments where that receiver just runs to that spot, and as soon as he turns around, that ball hits him in his chest. And the reason why it works that way is because the quarterback didn't throw the ball once he got there. The quarterback threw the ball long before he got there, knowing that if I do my part, get the ball in the air, he does his part to maneuver through all the defenses. What defenses, what opposition do you need to just be maneuvering through so that you can catch the ball? I don't know about you, but I've seen some of those receivers, they are so adamant of arriving in that place that when that defense comes on them, they're throwing them off of them. They batting them away. And I've seen some of them where they end up and they got one on them and they throwing them off like this and catching the ball like this all at the same time. Just boom, and then into the end zone. I'm telling you. And all of that happens not just because a quarterback who could throw the ball and a receiver that could catch it, but it was the whole team. It's the whole team. It's the whole team. The whole team. And what the offensive team recognizes is we got one assignment. He called. He's going long. We got one assignment. Keep him safe till he can get the ball in the air. And so you'll watch those linemen, and they're blocking. And they're holding off the defense. And when he launches that ball, they no longer concerned. They start looking like this. Everybody's following the ball. Everybody's eyes is on the ball. We are dealing with a very We are dealing with a very, in many ways, a very immature church right now. We are dealing with immature believers right now who, under the guise of I feel led, under the guise of God is telling me this, under the guise of I'm just not given to this traditional church thing anymore. This ain't about traditional church. This is about the kingdom of God. It's about the ecclesia. It's about the team that God has established to take over the world. And you can trip yourself, mess yourself up in that kind of thinking and never ever become the part that you are supposed to play on God's team. One of the things about this team is, hear me, because of the victory won, we are never on the defense. We are never on the defense. Our victory is assured. Our victory is already won. We are not on the defense. We are advancing down the field and positioning ourselves to catch the ball. I need to stop right there.